This is the Tom Likas Show.
If you believe in God, you're probably not as smart as I am.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
It's fucking true.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us in studio, here he is. He is criminal defense attorney Adam Sack. Adam, welcome as always.
Thank you, Tom. Nice to talk to you.
What's going on?
Well, Tom, this is going to be a little personal this week. Something that actually happened to me. You know, a lot of people talk a good game, and they're hypocrites, and I hate hypocrites the most, you know. This is actually a little incident that happened a couple of weeks ago. And it ties into some of your teachings, too, Tom. You're going to like this one. It also has sort of its foundation in what absolute children women are. And I think people want to know if I practice what I preach, and I definitely do. And this is an incredible, incredible example of this. This actually happened in court, and I was actually with one of my clients, and I think we have him on the line, I hope. I want to hear what he has to say about this.
We do have him on the line, although I can't tell you his name, but I'm on the line here. Here you go.
Let's get him.
There he is.
Hello, hi.
Hey.
How's it going?
How are you?
Hey, Adam.
So what are we calling you?
William.
William, okay. So this is important, Tom, because William here was actually with me. He's a witness to all this. William has a family law case, and we were in court, and we were waiting for the court to get ready and to let us in and everything. And William and I were in the hallway, and we're sitting on a bench, and we were just talking about his case, and we were like, you know, kind of joking with each other, whatever, talking about, you know, we had an important hearing coming up. And so we were preparing a little bit, and I think I'm trying to kind of replay it in my mind, but I think that the worst thing is, what's that?
Yeah, I mean, basically what we were doing is we were sitting there strategizing about
right.
our case, and we were talking amongst ourselves, and, you know, it was very odd because, you know, I mean, we were, you know, sitting there, you know, I have my attorney there, I'm sitting in the hallway talking, you know, about my case that's coming up, you know, in the next, you know, few minutes. And, you know, we were laughing a little bit and, you know, making jokes, but it was, you know, to ourselves. And then out pops some woman pops out of nowhere. And honestly, if you were asking me to identify her, I wouldn't be able to.
By the way, I got to tell you, William, I feel exactly the same way. I can't even imagine, like, in my mind what she looks like. It was very fast, you know?
I can't either.
Yes. And one more thing, I think you and I were joking a little bit, but what's the worst thing we said? I think the worst thing we said between us in our private conversation, I think I said vagina or something like that.
I think you did. Yes, you did.
I think, Tom, that was the peak moment of the whole conversation.
Yeah.
So this woman that neither of us can remember comes over to us, and what did she say? She starts screaming at me.
She just started screaming. I mean, you know, I think, you know, it's almost, you know, she actually popped up. We were sitting, you know, in the hallway, and I think there was a door to a courtroom. You know, she was exiting the courtroom, so she was, you know, very close to us. You know, she heard, I guess, the end of the conversation, and she went, like, she was livid. You know, she was very upset, you know, and to where, you know, Adam and I are looking at each other like, what just happened here? You know, because, you know, we were not being loud. You know, we were sitting there talking, you know, amongst ourselves. You know, she gets very upset. You know, starts screaming. You know, she was way louder than we could have ever been. And you know, she's like, you know, is that your attorney? Kind of looking at me. I'm like, what is going on here? You know, very upset. you know, starts, I can't remember exactly what she said, and she walks off.
It's no, like, but it's important, William. She cursed at us. She said, you know, F you, and you're an asshole, and she started talking to you. I can't believe this is your lawyer.
Right, it was bizarre.
You're an idiot. She just went nuts. And, you know, Tom, she was kind of wearing like a pantsuit, kind of like dressed up a little. I thought she was a lawyer.
Of course she was.
Well, I thought she was a lawyer or something. And I'm trying to place her. Like, maybe, you know, I've got a lot of enemy lawyers out there that I've, like, you know, whipped in cases that are angry at me. I thought that maybe she's one of those. And I couldn't really remember her face. And I, to be honest, if I had to do one of those witness things, I don't think I could even identify her at this point. So,
you know, for me first, like, looking at it, I think, you know, sometimes when people, you know, maybe, you know, come out of a courtroom or whatever it is, you know, there is frustration there, you know, and I think there was some of that because it was just so, it was so bizarre, you know. I mean, I can understand if we were being loud and, you know, maybe, you know, it seemed so odd, you know, her basically coming out, she seemed a little upset in whatever, you know, was going on in her personal situation, you know, exiting the courtroom, you know, then she comes out and it seems like she unleashed on Adam, you know, which is like, okay, you know, and we're looking at each other like, what just happened here? You know, and it's, you know, like, okay, you know, we let it pass, you know.
Right,
we have
right.
Our
so,
court case
so this
up.
Is the best part. Okay, so William and I laugh, right, and we just think like, wow, that was crazy. She's gone. The whole thing lasted about 15 seconds. And listen, I got things to do. William and I have this case, which is much more important than this nonsense. And so we get back to our thing. We go into our courtroom, which was actually even a different one than the one she came out of. And we forgot all about it. And so we're in the courtroom. We're waiting for our case to be called. And, you know, there's like the judge, and he's doing some other cases before us. And we're all waiting. And the other side on our case is there with the lawyer and everything. And they're like looking at us and all this. And there's, you know, always the court has like one deputy who's sitting there, you know, guarding the judge or whatever. So that's all very normal. And then about a half an hour, an hour in, all of a sudden, there's another deputy and another deputy and another deputy and a supervising deputy. And all of a sudden, there's like five or six cops and they're all looking at me. Okay. And so one of them walks over to me. And I'm just sitting on, like, one of the chairs, you know, in the audience, minding my own business. And he says, counsel, I need to talk to you. Will you step out for a second? So I say, okay. And he walks me out into the hall. And then I have, like, kind of a swarm, kind of, like, around me. You know what I mean? This is when the cops pile on. It's, you know, you got the one that you're talking to primarily. But then there's, like, you know, all their friends and then, like, the sergeants and all these other people showing up. And they take William away. He kind of goes to the side. And they're like, this woman, it turns out that I'm still not exactly clear, but she's either, she like works at the court or something, or she's a clerk, or she's a lawyer. I'm not even sure. Research lawyer. I don't even know. They won't tell me her name. Doesn't matter. But she says that I attacked her in court and that she's, you know, petrified and she wants me to be arrested. Now, William, what did you think of all this? This was like a shock.
I honestly thought it was shocking. I mean, you know, if I had not seen, you know, experienced this, it, you know, it would, you know, I wouldn't really know how to take it. But given that I was there, it's like, what? It's kind of like one of those surreal moments. Like, is this can't be really happening here? You know, I actually told, you know, Adam after the fact, you know, that this, you know, it felt like almost like you're on like a some kind of type of hidden camera show or something.
Yeah.
You know, it just felt so odd.
It's not.
You
know, I wish it was a hidden camera show. That's the problem. It's real, man.
It was just bizarre.
All right. Now, this is
it. So we basically.
It's really important because, and the reason I talk about this, Tom, is that we talk many times on this show on Criminal Law Days. You know, I get guys that call in and call me, you know, off the air, of course, who talk about getting a DUI or getting another arrest or whatever, and how the cops made them do a breathalyzer even though they knew they weren't supposed to, and how they signed documents and they confessed and they talked to the police. And I'm always scolding them. And I'm saying, you know, you have to not do that. You have to keep your cool, you know, at a checkpoint. And we've seen how stressful these situations are. And I have to tell you, you know, people think sometimes you see on TV that it's because of racism or whatever. The cops are against, you know, certain minorities or whatever. The truth of the matter is that these cops are not your regular street cops. These are court police, okay? And I'm an attorney, so I'm actually an officer of court. And I have to say, they treated me like shit, okay? When you're in that situation, they are talking to you so brutally, so nasty, so disgusting. Like, their attitude is like they just act like you are the biggest piece of shit and that they are going to crush you into the ground, you know? And I'm an attorney. I know my rights better than anyone. And these guys are saying to me, do this, do that. And I'm telling them, you know, like I've said to the guys, I don't, I'm not making a statement. I'm not interested in cooperating with you. I'm not going to show you my ID. Leave me alone. I didn't do anything. I don't want to talk about it. And they're telling me, yeah, well, we have video that shows that you pushed this woman. And they're coming up with all kinds of nonsense. And they even did like some cop psychology. They have like good cop, bad cop. There was one cop who's being nice to me, kind of, like he wants to work with me. And then there's another cop who's, like, telling me how bad I am and all this. And when they were asking me some questions and I said, look, I'm pleading the Fifth Amendment here. This one cop got on the radio and he said, we have an uncooperative here and I need backup. And all of a sudden, like, more cops are coming, and then they brought, like, this sergeant. And you think he comes over like a professional. He comes over, and he's got this look on his face, and he says to me, what the hell is going on here? What is wrong with you? We're going to take you down. We're going to crush you. Do you understand? You hear me? I don't give a shit if you're a lawyer. I'm going to crush you. I'm going to crush you like a bug. You hear me? And I'm like, what is wrong with you talking to me this way? I could talk to you any way I want. Do you understand? You don't have any fucking rights here. Do you hear me? You hear me? You're screwing around. You made a big mistake today, buddy. Okay? Because you're leaving here in handcuffs. Okay? And it's like, when you're in this situation, and I know that this has happened, a lot of people, they freak out. You know, it's really, really harsh. And this is in a court. I can imagine being on the side of the road. What?
You know, it just was very, I'm listening to you, you know, describe it, and, you know, and it's kind of like replaying it again, you know, trying to understand where this was completely coming from was the most difficult part, you know, because it was, you know, this is all, you know, based on a conversation that I'm having with my attorney. We're strategizing, you know, maybe, you know, it was a little bit of, you know, things, whatever, you know, that were said, but it was amongst ourselves, you know, and it turned into, it was just, you know, you don't really prepare, you know, Adam, obviously he's an attorney, he, you know, understands the situation a little better, but for a person, you know, everyday person, you know, where this situation can very easily happen, you know, it happening in a courtroom or a court hallway, you know, you're not prepared for something like this. And I think that's, you know, the thing that I took away from it, you know, like after the entire, like the day passed, and it's like you kind of like, you know, think about what just happened here. You know, you don't know how to react to it. You know, you have people in your face, you know, they're asking, you know, Adam for, you know, an ID. And he's like, oh, here's my ID. You know, I want two forms of ID. It's like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, I can vouch for him. He is my attorney. No, we want two forms of ID. I'm like, okay, you know. And they got a little rude with me there for a second, and they're like, you know, they came over and apologized after the fact. They're like, you know, well, we're doing our job, you know, whatever. So I understand that, but what are you guys doing here? You know, he's in court right now. He is representing me in a case right now. You know, you understand that this is having an effect, you know, on, you know, this is just not the time. This is, you know, he's my attorney. You know, I can vouch for him. You know, if he doesn't have two forms of ID, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. So, I mean, yeah, you just, you know, it's just very, you know, it was just a very strange circumstance for this to happen. You know, I witnessed it. I'm like there, you know, but even hearing it, it's like, wow, you know, it's just, it was very bizarre.
There's no doubt. And what's really, you know, significant in terms of this is that I said to them, and this is like, you know, the basic thing. I said, look, you're embarrassing me in front of my client. I've got a case that's about to be called. What's going on here? Do you have something? And, you know, I'm going to go back into court. And they're like, no, you're not going anywhere. And I said, well, I'm not interested in talking to you. And they cops just can't believe it, you know. I mean, this is the United States, okay. You have certain rights, okay. And, you know, they think that they're going to kind of get into a conversation with you and get you to self-incriminate. And they were telling me that they're going to watch the video. They've got a video because there's video cameras everywhere in the courthouse. So I said, good for you. Watch the video. You're going to see me and my client very quietly sitting on this bench and this crazy woman coming over and screaming at us. It makes no sense. yeah, well, she says that you attacked her and you cursed at her. And then they started playing the woman card on me. And you got to remember, that's the real hook to all of this, okay? Because interactions now with women, as we know, are laced with danger, okay? So they started saying to me, you got a lot of nerve using your potty mouth in front of women. Okay, so women who are telling me all day long how equal they are, okay, and how they can do anything a man can do and they don't need a man, on the other hand, if they hear a potty mouth, would you say that in first grade? Okay, that they're going to fall apart and have a nervous breakdown, okay?
Aren't you allowed to use any language you want in public? I mean, where's the law that says you can't vagina or fuck or whatever?
I got to tell you, Tom, I was talking to my client, so I was actually doing something that's even protected in a different way. I'm having a legal consultation, okay? Now, there are certain principles. I started thinking about it more later, but like when you're in a courthouse, there's some kind of like, you know, code of conduct or whatever. You're not supposed to, you know, do obscene things or whatever. But the worst I ever saw, and I have seen family law cases go really bad, where these guys come out and they're screaming at the ex-wife, you effing bitch and all this. And the worst that ever happened in my life is the deputy comes over and says to her, you know, to him, hey, calm down. Stop cursing. Okay, there's children here. You know, stop it. You're in a public place. And the guy hopefully calms down, you know. But here, I'm having a conversation with my own client right before our case. And this woman, who I don't even know, overheard a couple of words or something and got offended for some reason, cursed me out, right? And this shows you how women are today. She cursed me.
Adam, just thinking about it too, like, what if, you know, honestly, what if, you know, you don't really kind of look at it in another way as well. You know, what if you were not an attorney, you know, and it's just two people having a conversation to be in court? That person would have needed to be in court, you know, for a case. You know, you'd have the cops coming. Probably that person would have probably been arrested.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, it could have, you know, it's really, you know, I mean, wasn't even thinking about it along those lines. I mean, but it was, you know, that's pretty nuts to think about it like that. I mean, you could have been the whole, like,
it just seems to me, I would have, yeah, he would have missed his hearing, I suppose, on top of everything.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
But the thing is, it seems to me that she got her pound of flesh. She went over, she cursed the two of us out, okay, great, and then she went into her continuing whatever the hell she was doing. I cannot understand the vindictiveness of women, that she couldn't have just let it go at that, okay? She had to go and get the cops involved and figure out where I was and point me out to them and make a whole thing of it. And here, this is the worst part, is that these professionals, these officers, are taking it seriously. That's the worst part. And they're talking to me like I'm the biggest sleaze there ever was. And they're saying to me, you used your potty mouth in front of a woman? It's like, what? Are you kidding me? That's illegal now? This is this college thing where, you know, the little snowflakes can't be offended or whatever. Unbelievable. So they took me aside. They were questioning William. And I said to them, I don't want you talking to them. You know, stay away. You know, they're like, don't talk to my client, you know. And they're like going, well, we can do whatever we want and all this kind of stuff, you know, strutting around. Now there's like five or six or seven cops. This is like a major incident, okay? And this supervisor guy comes over, and he's telling me what a sleaze I am and how sorry I'm going to be, and I'm leaving in cuffs and all this stuff. And I finally did, you know, I just laid the bomb. And I said, am I free to go now? Okay, because I have a case in that department over there. I pointed to the door. And there's my client, and we're going to get called any minute now, and you're distracting me from my work. Which is true. I've got a really complicated case with William. I don't need this nonsense. It's giving me a freaking headache. Okay? Now, on top of all this, the lawyer that's against me on my case, he comes out in the hall to see what's going on, and he's having a grand old time seeing, you know, me having a hassle here, because he's my enemy, right? He's, you know, he thinks this is, like, good for him somehow. So I go over to him, and I say, hey, I think I need counsel, and you're going to be it. I want you to tell these cops to leave me alone, okay? Now, this is a moment for this guy to reach across the aisle, right? And to do the right thing, because, you know, we're both lawyers. We should be looking out for each other, aside from our animosity in the case. This guy, this asshole, says, I'm not sure if I can do that. And he gets on the phone to call his partner to ask him if it's okay. So I said to him, you know, I said, you're really a dick, you know. I mean, if you were in trouble, I would help you, you know. But what about professional courtesy, for Christ's sake? Well, anyway, so I said to this supervising cop, I said to him, officer, I got to get back to work. I have nothing to say. Am I free to go? Which is, you know, are you going to arrest me or can I go? Okay. And he gives me one of these cop looks, you know, he gives me this long look. And I said, am I free to go? And he says to me, well, you keep interrupting me. When do I get to speak? So I said, okay, you can speak now. I'm done. And he just sits there. And I said, are you going to say something now? And literally, he's like using psychology on me or something. He's like, quiet. I said, okay, so I'm going to take that as a no, and I'm stepping away. And I turned and I went back into the court, and William and I did our case. Okay? And I got to tell you, it is a very distressing kind of thing to deal with. I understand the guys. It's really unpleasant. It's one thing, you know, when I go into court, I deal with a lot of cops, and I tear them to shreds in the cases when I have to. But it's a lot different when it's you, you know, when it's yourself. And it's really fascinating to me that this cop was saying and putting on the radio that I was not cooperating. Because I said to the other one, I said, you know, why are you saying that about me? Why are you saying I didn't cooperate? You asked me, you know, a couple of details. I told you. I gave you my name, my ID, whatever. You know, it's an attitude where they are seeing themselves as some kind of like guardians of the universe or whatever. And in this case, they're protecting this victim, this virgin woman. And I have to tell you, boys, and this relates to criminal law and family law. If a cop is in your house, okay, and your girlfriend or your wife is telling the cop that you hit her or you smacked her or whatever the story is, you shut your mouth, you're fucking dead. There's no way you're going to talk your way out of it, okay? And the reason that these guys didn't arrest me is because I didn't say anything. I didn't give them anything to work with, okay? The reality is that the greatest day in a cop's life is when he can collar somebody. That means arrest. Put a collar, like a dog collar. Okay? And I personally think, I'm sorry to say, that a lot of these deputies that work in the court don't like lawyers all that much. And I have to say that they were itching to arrest me. This would have been like the greatest day in their lives if they could have gone home and told the boys or their friends, hey, you know what? This prick lawyer came in, and he thinks he's so fucking smart, and I collared his ass. And he's in deep shit now. He's charged with 3 felonies or whatever, okay? And these guys were literally making an argument that I had done some kind of crime by using bad language, okay, essentially. And by the way, not even directed at her. In other words, this woman had come in, and I don't know who she is, but if I did, or something, which is what they were suggesting, that I knew her somehow, and I called her a whore, or I cursed at her or something, which I didn't, but if I had done that, I seriously doubt that that was even illegal anyway. I mean, you can curse at someone. If I didn't like her and I called her a bad name, I don't think that's against the law. But the fact was, is she actually overheard me talking to William, and built up her own thing, cursed at me. Of course they don't arrest her. They don't even question her. She's the victim, because in this narrative of our society, the woman is always the victim, okay? And these guys were so excited. They were so thrilled. You could see they were giddy with themselves that this was going to be the day that they finally stuck it to a lawyer and arrested a lawyer, okay? And the whole reality, and I really understand when the boys tell me about being on the side of the road with the DUI case, and the cops are showing up, and the supervisors are showing up, and it's like a party for them, okay? Except the problem is, you're the object of the party, and they're all having a good time. You're like the cats that are playing with a mouse, you know? The mouse ends up dead, you know? The cats had fun, though, and this was something that they were really enthusiastic about. And the only thing I can say, and I'm not perfect or anything, but the reason I handled it right is that I kept my cool. And I didn't argue about it. I didn't start telling, yeah, well, she did this and she did that. I didn't get into it. I respected. I said, these are my rights. I'm not going to talk about this. I'm not making a statement. You guys, am I free to go? Because I got things to do. I don't have time for this to go on any further. And my client's over there, and we have a case here. Why are you doing this? And it was like they were so amped up. They were already at like 99, and they turned it down and let me go. What do you say, William?
You know, it is amazing. I mean, when you're in a situation like that, You know, you see it happening. You know it's not right. It shouldn't be happening, but it, you know, it is. It's just, it was, you know, I mean, it just was, you know, it was bizarre. I mean, I don't really know how to, you know, completely put it into words.
What did they say to you? They were talking to you for a while.
Well, they wanted, they just basically wanted my information, you know, and then basically you were like, you know, do not speak to them. So I was like, you know, I can't speak to them, you know, and I can't, you know, give you guys my information. But by that point, I already gave them my address, you know, and then they just wanted my phone number. So, you know, I was just like, you know, I ended up giving them my phone number anyway. And they said, would you be willing to, you know, testify or make a statement as to what happened? I said, sure, you know, and that was basically it. You know, I mean, initially, you know, when I approached over, you know, by you guys, I was like, you know, this is my attorney, you know, trying to vouch, you know, for you that right. You are, in fact, my attorney, you know, and then they were kind of rude at first, like, you know, you go over there, you know, it's like, okay, you know, all right, you know, so then I kind of just stepped away, and then, you know, basically, there was the, you know, by that point, that was when the, I guess the deputies, like the head deputy or whoever came over. So by the point, there was like four, you know, police deputies or whatever they were. You know, they kind of just, you know, told me to get away. So I did, you know, I'm kind of just standing there watching this. It's like, this cannot really be happening.
Well, weren't they like pressing you like that, did we know this woman and, What did we say to her and all this? Like, didn't I push her or something?
Well, I mean, I didn't hear the word push. I mean, I just heard, you know, I said, my attorney and I, you know, were, you know, because I said we were talking, you know, amongst ourselves, you know, and she came out of nowhere. I said, if you were to ask me to identify this person, I would not be able to do it. But, you know, it was surprising for us, you know, and I explained to him where we were sitting, you know, we were having the conversation. You know, I was like, my back was to the door, you know, Adam was like in front of me. So, you know, this is the way that where the chair is and that door would have been to my back. You know, so I don't know exactly when she came out of the door. I said, but I wouldn't be able to identify her. And I said, it's very odd that this is happening. I said, because this, you know, we were talking amongst ourselves. You know, there was nobody around us, you know, and there wasn't really anything said that was so, you know, that would should have escalated it to the point where it got, you know, it just didn't make any sense. It still doesn't really make any sense. You know, I mean, I don't know. It is frightening though that situation can occur.
Well, that's
and
the
it could
thing
happen in a courthouse.
Right. But think about it. If it could happen like that in a courthouse, you see how these things escalate so quickly. And can you imagine if it was in your house or in a domestic violence situation or on the side of the road, you know, or you're in public somewhere? I mean, it's remarkable also, and as I said before, how quickly they take the woman's side, right? I mean,
oh, immediately. I mean, they didn't. It's like
they didn't ask me a thing. I was dead wrong.
No, we're in court. I mean, this is you know. I mean, again, it's my attorney. We're in a courtroom by this point. By the time you know Adam got tapped on his back to you know remove you know to have him you know so he can speak to them outside. But I mean, for language, you know, that's what we're talking about here. You know, that she felt uncomfortable with, you know, would escalate to a point. To where we are in a courtroom at this point, ready to proceed with my case, you know, which honestly, it's like, you know, now you're interfering with every, you know, I mean, for me, it's like my case here, you know, and then they, you know, have them escort the courtroom. And it's just, you know, the way things can kind of unfold and escalate, you know, from something that is language that maybe she was not comfortable with, which in reality, you know, wasn't directed towards her.
Oh, that's her,
you know,
problem. Listen, she's in a public place, for Christ's sake, okay? I am really, really exhausted with this thing with the snowflakes and covering their ears and getting offended by everything, okay? And if she was a lawyer, or I don't know what she was, it shouldn't be a big surprise to her to have heard just about everything. And like you say, it was definitely not directed at her anyway. And to tell you the truth, William, I don't think we were so dirty. I don't even know. I don't think we were just...
I don't even, I don't think either. I mean, I really don't. I can't even, like, I honestly don't even remember exactly what was said, to be honest. I know
yeah,
that
I know,
we were,
but when I was talking, we talking to these cops, they were, like, carrying on, and I was saying, like, what did I even say?
Were out of control.
Yeah.
They were out of control. I mean, big time. I mean, it was kind of, like, to watch it, it was kind of shocking. It was like, what's going on here? This is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, to see them, they were amped up. You know, they were overly amped up, and it was, you know, because
right.
I mean,
and you also remember they were like kind of swarming me. They were kind of all around. They made like a circle.
There was actually when I exited the courtroom. By that point, there was I think three, you know, and they were aggressive. They were being aggressive towards you, and it's like, you know, I mean, I'm getting the tail end of this, you know, because I'm sitting in the courtroom for, you know, maybe, you know, 5-10 minutes. So I'm kind of coming out. They were very overly aggressive. And, you know, I'm like, you know, all I hear is them saying, you know, that, you know, you need to verify, I guess, that you're an attorney. And I'm like, you know, I kind of hear that. I'm like, I can verify for him. This is my attorney. He's representing me in more than one case here. You know, I can definitely vouch for him. You know, well, I think they wanted two forms of ID or something. And I was like, what? I'm like,
I gave them my business card, and they were saying, this could be a forgery. You know, this doesn't have to be real. We don't know if this is really your name. And it's like, you guys, will you stop it, please? You know, you're making me get a fucking headache. I'm giving you my business card.
Now I got a question for you. So
yes.
What do you do now? Can you file a lawsuit?
I'd love to write a complaint against her if she's a court employee, but the truth is I don't even know who she is. I couldn't pick her out of a lineup, Tom. The whole thing took 10 seconds, maybe 15 seconds. I didn't speak to her. That's the joke. She got upset about something that I was talking
about. Right, but aren't the cops required to give you that information if you file a lawsuit?
No, she's the virginal woman. She's the victim, Tom. Did you know in these rape cases, they don't even name the victim? It's as big, they put their initials or whatever. Even after the guy's been exonerated.
They were talking about having a video. Subpoena that video file a lawsuit?
I guess the question you have to ask yourself is, you know, how much of your life do you want to waste on this kind of stuff, you know?
Depends on how important it is to you.
Well, I think that the lesson I took from this, if anything, is that it gives me a lot more understanding, and I've already had some, but I've got a lot more, as to what the guys go through when they get arrested and when they're questioned for things. And all I can say, it was very unpleasant, it's very humiliating, and cops are absolutely, completely out of control. And these were actually deputies in the courthouse, so I can't even imagine how your average, regular street beat cop would act. And I got to tell the boys that you have got to be clear, you've got to stay calm, and you got to stick to what I've told you 100 times, which is I'm not making a statement. And I'm telling you, it took a lot of guts to finally say to this supervisor, you know, am I free to go? Because this is like the ultimate challenge. Because these guys are standing there drooling at the thought of arresting me.
But you're going to be back in that court. And what happens when they see you again?
I don't know. I hope they're courteous. They're not going to.
I would be looking.
What am I
going to
do?
Next step is.
I'm going to come with a bodyguard. I mean, I'm going to go to that court and I'm going to do my business. They've got nothing on me. They were carrying on about how they're going to watch the video. I said, that's good. Watch the video. You're going to be very disappointed because there was really nothing much happened in the video. It was pretty bizarre and ridiculous.
Right.
And you know, knowing that you're innocent is always beneficial. But I just think that people have to be aware. And when we talk about some of this stuff with respect to dating, Tom, you know, nowadays, you know, the woman screws you on the first date, and then you wake up in the morning and she's upset and she feels dirty and she gets buyer's remorse or you don't call her or whatever. When a woman squawks, as much as they say they're being discriminated against, it's not true. When a woman says, you know, the guy pushed me, touched me on the vagina, he did this to me, he did that to me, women get attention, and there's this whole chivalry thing that these cops are protecting a woman and protecting a woman's honor, and it's like the Knights of the Round Table or something. They're really into it. And, I mean, if she worked at the courthouse, these guys knew her or something, or they've worked with her. I mean, I cannot believe that she did not just let it go. That just shows you. And if you think this chick that you got in a fight with is just going to forget about you, no way. She's going to fight you. She's going to file a restraining order or do something. The vindictiveness. And what I'm saying to them, what you know, are you going to arrest me? Did I do something? What am I charged with? Being rude? Having bad language? Are you freaking kidding? And it's like this was real to them, and they were really acting like it was really important. Like all of them, they were gathered around, like they were really coming after someone who had done so much wrong. And there I am, like, I'm your average scumbag, right? I'm wearing my suit. I'm about to do a court case. I'm obviously an attorney. They're telling me, we don't know if your business card is authentic. I'm going, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, it's sick. It's bizarre. And the worst part is in front of William, my client, you know? So, I mean, William didn't like me so much. He'd go, hey, this is crazy. I'm firing you. Right, William?
Yeah, but Adam is a fighter, though. I will tell you that. For anybody who's listening, the guy's amazing. You know, he really is awesome.
Well, we're doing good on your case. Aside from everything, we're doing good on your case, right?
Yes, we are doing excellent. Yes. Thank you very, very much for it.
Now, think about it. Like you said, I mean, if they had arrested me, then you would have been without a lawyer, I guess. I mean, it's so stupid. I can't even believe it.
Yeah, I don't even know what I would have done, honestly.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know how that would have played itself out.
Crazy stuff. Jesus. Well, anyway,
right, we got calls coming in. Adam, you want to take a break here
sure.
And thank our guests?
Thank you, William.
On here?
Thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, thank you.
William, thank you.
Tom, we needed William on because no one would have believed me. This is a crazy story.
I understand.
Unbelievable.
I do. By the way, our next call after this break is somebody who says he was messed with by cops in court as well.
Oh, shit.
So we'll take calls. By the way, it's criminal defense attorney Adam Saxon. If you, whether you have a response to what Adam's been talking about, or you've got an issue and you need some legal advice, now's the time for free legal advice. You call this number right now. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. You can call me right now at 901-3000-TOM. 866.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000-TOM, it's the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs and your phone call. 901-3000-TOM, that's the number. 901-3000-866. Let's say hi to Anthony in Auburn, Washington. On the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Tom.
Hey, Anthony.
Yes, Tom.
Hey, yeah. Bud. How's it going? Thanks
What's
for
up?
Taking my call. I was just en route, like most of us guys, doing the daily grind, and I happened to tune in, and I heard Adam's plea of what had happened. And it reminded me of something that happened to me quite some time ago. I was in court and out here in Washington State at the local venue, and I was there for a visitation hearing. I was having problems at the time. My baby's mother, she wouldn't bring the baby on time, but the bitch wants to check on time every month.
You're damn right. You're damn right she does.
Adam, you know, it's crazy.
I know it.
These guys need to remember is that don't let these ladies screw you around with the visitation. The visitation and the payment schedule, they're two different things.
Right.
You could not pay a dime in child support. That wouldn't look good on your part, but that's not an excuse for that lady
that's right.
to not bring that child to see you.
Exactly.
And the judge recognizes that. But that's neither here nor there. So I was fighting for my right to see my kid. She had a habitual record. I had took her back many times. This particular time I hired an attorney. He was there representing me. And I ended up winning the case to the point to where the judge scolded my baby's mother. He said, listen, if that baby is not over there this weekend to visit the father, you're going to have to see me, and you don't want to see me. And so he put the hammer down on her, and I don't know what you call it, Adam. I sued, or I asked for my attorney's fees to be covered because
nice.
Of this frivolous case.
All right.
Before the judge. The judge warned her. He browbeated her to make sure the baby was at my home this weekend, and then on top of it, he awarded me $250 towards my attorney's fees. That didn't pay
all
of it. But the actuality of him doing that kind of really put me on a high note. So I digress. So my case is I wasn't married to the young lady. It was the child in common. And in Washington State, when you have a situation like that, they call that a sealed file.
Okay.
And in a sealed file hearing, they kick everybody out of the courtroom.
Right.
Because, I don't know, I guess it's nobody else's business.
Right,
but
right, private
it happened. Yeah, it's a private hearing. So everybody that was there waiting with their attorneys and whatnot, they had to get up and leave. And this included my baby's mother's sister, who came there with her to support her. Mind you, these two ladies, my baby's mother and her little sister, they're both COs in the local jail system, where CO is a correctional officer.
Oh, man.
So they're wannabe cops.
Are you,
so
are you crazy? That's your baby mama?
I was young.
A corrections officer? Jesus,
I was young, man.
That's asking for it, man.
I seen the uniform and I wanted it, and I got it. But boy,
geez.
Did I get it, you know.
She's not going to like men very much, dude. Sorry.
So both of these girls are wannabe cops, mind you. So they kicked everybody out of the courtroom. I kind of won my case that day. And as me and my attorney are leaving, there are double doors in most courtrooms with a small window that you can peek through. Well, on the other side of the door, I seen her sister peeking through the window. And so I pushed both the double doors to exit the building, and had no contact with this lady whatsoever. Me and my attorney stood out in the hall. We had to exchange paperwork and signatures to get this final thing pushed through. Next thing that I know, two of the COs from the courthouse were approaching me and asking me what I did to this lady. And I turned around to see what lady it is, and it's my baby's mother's sister. I said, I didn't do nothing to her. And
you
said, oh, yeah, no, you bucked up in her face. You bumped into her chest. You basically challenged her and assaulted her. I said, I didn't do anything. So I just came out of court.
God.
Is my attorney. So I asked my attorney, I said, did you see me do anything? And my attorney says, No, he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know what these women were telling the officers, but I can imagine, Adam. So fast forward to me denying I didn't do anything. They took all my information. They didn't take me in custody that day, but when they left me, they said, you know what, we're going to forward this to the DA, and it's going to be up to the DA to decide whether he wants to go forward and try this or not. And I felt pretty confident that I didn't do anything, but lo and behold, less than 2 weeks later, a court date came in the mail for me to go have to defend myself. This lady was asking for a protection order, and in Washington State, the judge's hands are kind of tied because if they don't give a protection order and then something happens to that person, then the judge is looked upon as bad. So in the late 90s, when a woman goes, or even a man, if you go and ask for a protection order, 9 out of 10 times you're going to get it, no questions asked, because the court wants to cover its ass.
Yeah, and also that whole thing that I talked about before, which is this whole kind of under foundation of protecting women, of course, because women are the eternal victims, you know?
Correct. Now some of them deserve it, you know what I mean? But, you know, it just, they go overboard, and you're right, they don't differentiate. And I've really seen it in their eyes. They were just gung-ho to come. And this is the thing to remember, Adam. There's not much action going on in the courtroom. You know,
Boring job.
All the action that happened with the people at the courtroom, it happened before they got there. So that's why they're there 9 out of 10 times. So these guys don't have much, nothing, no stories to tell their kids or their wives. And, well, long story short, I caught a protection order from me just going to do my civic duty of watching my kid. And it just makes me mad. I wish there would have been cameras, or I could have pulled the cameras. So I just applaud you for sticking to your guns and standing your ground as a man. And that's what we need to do. We're our brother's keeper. And Tom, this is one of the best things you did, is bring on Adam or other kind of counsel to give us accurate information, because there's so many times that men travel the road of life and we don't know what to do when we get to certain places. And people prey on you when you don't know what to do. And so having Adam out here and educating people, and it's a great thing for us, for the brotherhood here. And thanks, Tom.
Thanks, bro.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the call.
Yes, I appreciate the compliment. Thank you.
It's not appropriate, but, you know, I'd ask for a bong hit, but I'll call back and do that another time. You can
take
me out with that.
Take a bong hit.
Enjoy
the
conversation, guys.
All right, Anthony, thank you so much for the call. It's 901-3000 Tom. We have criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, who's answering your legal questions. Free legal advice for you. 901-3000 Tom. That's our number. It's 901-3000-866.
Stick it in your rack. Let them enjoy it, too. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. The bonus hour at 1,000 Tom. Free legal advice from our friend, criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. 901-3000-TOM is the number. 901-3000-866. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out on Facebook or on the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com. And I love it because I answer them myself.
Sounds good to me. All right, Frank in Boston, say hi to Adam Sachs.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Frank, what's up?
Nothing much. So I have a few questions. So
sure.
First, like, you talk about how you go to this divorce court, and I'm going to be in L.A. like next week for a few months.
Really?
And I'm actually interested in going to those family courts and just like literally like witnessing like what's happening with this woman or those men. Like,
oh, it's a blast.
Can you give me an address for it?
Oh, listen, definitely get in touch with me. I'd love to have you come with me. I've been begging Gary to come for months. I mean, it's a real adventure and it's free. You know, it's actually open to the public. You know, in England, the family law stuff is all closed hearings, but in California and other U.S. states, it's open. You know, you can come in and watch. And it's astounding. Any guy that's thinking of getting married needs to come to family court for a day or two, and it will set him straight. Believe me.
I would love to have you come, Frank.
That would be great.
Can you give me an address for it?
No problem. Send me an email. You could be my guest. I'll have you come when I'm doing some interesting sounding hearing. You'd have a blast. But
you can't give an address on the air right now, like, so I can write it down now?
I don't know. You're talking about LA?
Yes.
I guess 111 North Hill Street. That's the main courthouse downtown.
Okay.
I'm telling
when
you,
we get
send
there,
me an email. I'll set you up.
Okay. Another thing is, I had this girl who lived with me, and she needed a place to stay, and things didn't work out very well. She was with me for free for 6 months.
Oh, there you
and
go.
She was very and she was very frustrated. She didn't get a job, and she would
really?
Come many times to my place, like, drunk. And
nice.
I'm not a perfect person, but one day, like, she was upset, and she started screaming. She wanted to take my laptop away, and she was screaming too much, and now the cops show up to the door because
right
the neighbors called.
Perfect.
Right?
Classic.
And so I was lucky because she didn't say anything. But then they asked me if they can come in my place.
Say no
and
way.
I said
no way.
I said yes. I said I don't know what to say. So I said
yeah. Why?
So,
don't invite.
I don't know.
Them. Don't
I think,
invite them
I think
in.
It was,
come on.
I think on the moment, that's what happened. So I said, yes. So then when I talked to her, she didn't say anything.
That's
and then
lucky.
The other cop put me on the side, and he, you know, was looking at me if I had, like, a weapon or whatever on me, and I had nothing. And he started asking me questions. I didn't say anything, but then he asked me for my name, and I gave my name and my number, and I gave the number.
Yeah.
Is that, like, what if I had said, like, officer, I have the right to remain silent?
Yeah, that's right. I'm exercising my right to remain silent. And I'd like you to step out of my house. You see, all that you needed was for this woman, and this is the classic, when the cops arrive, she turns on the waterworks, okay, and she starts crying her face off, and then she says, he hit me, I'm scared, oh my God. Okay, that's all she has to do.
Uh-huh.
And then you're a goner. By the way, are you African-American? Are you any kind of minority?
Yes.
Okay, and was she white by any chance?
No, she was African-American.
Okay, well, let me just tell you, God help you, if you're a black guy and she's a white girl, then forget it.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to know what happens next, okay?
Okay.
And even whatever, both of you being African-American, believe me, the whole victimhood thing is very, very strong. And I think that minority people get treated much worse in the criminal justice system. There's no doubt about it. And if I was a black guy, I'd be really scared when the cops came to my door, you know?
Uh-huh. Another thing I want to talk about, because I did some research, but apparently there's three branches of the government. There's the executive,
right,
the legislative, and then the judicial one.
Correct.
And basically, from my research, and I've done a lot of YouTube videos and did look at the law, it's not legal for a judge to order child support because it falls under the executive branch.
No.
Did you know that?
That's not true. What happens is that once the law is passed, and the way we have it in our system, when we have a federal system, so it's even more specific to the state, but essentially you have the legislature of California or, you know, Massachusetts or whatever, was passing a law which was for child support and divorce and alimony and all that good stuff. And then the legislature passed that law. They hand it to the governor. That's the executive. He signs it. And then that law is then enforced by the judiciary. So in other words, you go through the court system to get an order for child support under the law. And then the judge is doing his job following and interpreting the law in your case and calculating how much you should pay and so forth. And then the police are the ones that, you know, executed against you, which is if they, like, seize your bank accounts and stuff. So the truth is the three parts of our government work together. And that's supposed to provide, you know, checks and balances. You don't want to have the executive be a dictator who then makes the law and executes the law and interprets the law. You want to have it spread out so the power is not in the hands of, you know, too few people. But broadly speaking,
Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
So basically, like, I mean, there's if.
What happened?
I don't know. Looks like we lost the connection with
him. Oh, no.
Well, he can call back, but
what he was saying,
in the meantime, Adam, one more time, give everybody your contact information.
For sure.
And if he calls back, we'll put him back in. Go ahead.
My number is 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. And you can check me out. Send me an email at adam@adamlawyer.com.
Looks like we lost him, well, so he can certainly call us
sorry about
next
it, Frank.
Time around.
I think basically what he was just trying to understand was how the different branches of the government work together. And I have to say that the family courts have the power to take all your money from you, and you're not going to be able to cry that it's not fair because they're not part of the executive or something. The system is set up, and it is working very effectively, and the orders that they make are for real. And you will go to your bank, and your balance will be seized. So take it seriously. That's all I can say.
Understood. All right, Adam. Thank you so much once again. And we're going to see you again coming up next Tuesday. That's the next appearance by Adam Sachs in our bonus hour. You can look forward to Adam and tune in and call in live coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Serving the universe from an old laundromat in Burbank, 901 3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yes.
Women are more likely to order healthy food on dates when they're with attractive guys.
What?
Yeah. So if she's eating, like, you know, if she's just piling it on, she apparently doesn't find you too attractive, and she's got no concern about eating in front of you.
So pay attention to what a broad order
is. Right. You understand
that
what's
determines
going on?
What she thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Yeah. So you know how you'll be out with a chick, and she'll be like, I'll just have a salad. It's kind of
a... That's a good sign.
Right. Probably thinks that, you know, she'd embarrass herself by chowing down in front of you, and she wants your schlong. That's what it means. You can take it as that and tell her I said so. So, that salad, that means that you you want to get banged, right?
Banged.
New dating app out that is trying to do away with dick pics. It's got a filter on it. And it's called TrueView, by the way. And if you attempt to send a dick pic or a naked pic, it will eliminate the picture. Wow. So I'm sure there's lots of chicks that are happy about this. You know, it's like a nonstop thing for them every day with the dicks over the head constantly.
You know? Whacked it in the face.
Just whacked it in the face over and over again with dick pics, unsolicited dick pics.
Lots of mushroom marks on their forehead.
Right. Now, it works the other way around, too, by the way. If she takes a naked pic, it's going to pick that one off, too. So you lose there, unfortunately. Aaron Hernandez apparently shot a man after a drink spilled at a club, according to witnesses.
Yeah, except the dude didn't die.
Yeah. A former friend of the ex-NFL star told a jury today in the double murder trial that he opened fire on a car because he believed the two men inside had taunted him at the nightclub. That is a messy-ass story.
By the way, it's unbelievable because these guys are, like, they're in court, and Alexander Bradley is the guy that's testifying about these shootings. He basically, when he faced Aaron in court, they, like, stared each other down.
Yeah.
They stared each other down.
Aaron Hernandez,
and they asked him, asked him, you know, what would happen, and he said, I just want to kill him, meaning Hernandez.
Yeah.
And he means it.
Yeah. I know.
He doesn't believe in snitching either. He'd rather this be handled outside of court. I mean, these two are unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I mean, isn't that the word on Aaron Hernandez? He's just a thug, always has been a thug, and never really got it out of his system.
Yes.
Yes. Say it ain't so. Woody Harrelson apparently has quit weed after 30 years.
There's got to be an over-under on this, because let's face it, Wood has enjoyed the weed.
Yeah. On Monday, Harrelson told Vulture that he hadn't smoked in a year. He's 55 years old now. He said that the drug kept him from being emotionally available.
He must have met a broad or something, because he just...
Yeah, something happened there.
He wants her back, so he's like, okay, it's because I have a weed.
You're always high.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was.
30 solid years of partying, he
said. Real...
Yeah,
by the way,
the real deal.
It was not uncommon for him to be in Hawaii with Willie Nelson, and those two be getting nice and high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a cloud following them around.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I know. Demi Lovato, the latest celebrity to have a... what about chocolate?
I feel the same way about chocolate. Everywhere I walk around, there's a fucking cloud of chocolate.
A trail of chocolate.
It's so good.
Did Dio shit himself? No, that's chocolate.
That's just chocolate.
It's chocolate.
I'm sorry. Demi Lovato is now the latest victim.
The latest, yeah.
Of
Nude pic leak.
I got to tell you, her, I'm looking...
When haven't you looked? Let's be clear about this. I mean, there hasn't been a single celebrity so far where you said, no, I have too much respect, I won't look.
That's true. Okay.
It's not happening.
I'm just not looking the other way, I'll just say.
Yeah. Finally, a couple of frat brothers find a shark on a beach, right? The shark is dead. Mm-hmm. What do they decide to do? It's actually brilliant, but it wasn't appreciated by many. The one guy stands over the shark and lifts the shark's mouth open, exposing its teeth. And the other guy takes a beer can, slams it into his teeth, and then drinks a shotgun from the beer can that has been made possible by the shark's tooth.
Yeah, it's real bad, because what happened here is...
Well, a lot of people are saying there's an awful lot of, you know, things on a shark's tooth that you don't want, like, in your system.
Dude, you can't give a fucking
shark... It's a dead
shark,
by the way. It's a dead shark. So,
I know, but...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I guess.
There's all kinds of bacteria and shit in the shark's mouth, and you're using it to open your beer can and swallow the thing in one shot. 500,000 views as of yesterday, and I'm sure it's way worse today. They think that it happened in the Bahamas.
See, some people are looking at it, and they think the shark is still alive,
no,
so they're people are really pissed off thinking that these guys are shotgunning beer to the shark.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
No, don't worry about it. He's just drinking the beer himself. There's plenty more news for guys.com, and of course... You can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal. Doesn't Angela Bassett look a little chinky?